All right, y'all. What's up? Welcome back to Fan Culture. As you can see, two-man game tonight with me and Carl. Sakani and Sid took the night off. They were busy, but we still wanted to knock out an episode for y'all. So it's just me and Carl. So we're going to get into NBA Finals. We had our predictions about a week ago, and it's game five tomorrow on Friday. So you already know who I'm repping right now. Got the purple and gold. And we'll remind everybody who your prediction was.
I called the Lakers five. I'm not going to lie. I was hoping and I was being optimistic for a series that went beyond that. Something entertaining, something close. But, I mean, it's 3-1. And they got for game five tomorrow. A jersey that they have not lost in yet. It'll be interesting if Miami can make it 3-2 and give them their first loss in the Mamba jersey. But, I mean, it's looking like – well, I think Kobe, when he passed, he was 41.
Yeah.
And they're really trying to close everything out at 4-1 for 41. And, you know, in the Mamba jersey, they're trying to do it for Kobe.
I mean, there's a lot of things tying back to, you know – the late, great Kobe Bryant, and wanting to finish this season out with, you know, on a high note, you know, and wanting everything to line up. And I hope the team doesn't get into, like, you know, wanting to do everything perfectly and seeing, because, I mean, everything is not going to line up perfectly, but I feel like the driving force of this season up to Kobe's, after Kobe's death, has been more fuel to the fire, you know, and it kind of put our feet to the coals as far as, like, getting better at the things we weren't good at. You know, we still struggled in the playoffs with certain things, some of our defense, you know, making shots, stuff like that, but we still managed to make it to the finals. So hopefully we're able to close it out. It'll be the first time in 10 years. Last time they won, I was a senior in high school, so I had just graduated, I think. So, yeah, that's pretty. So let's say, what worst case scenario, they do win. I mean, they do lose, right? The Lakers lose. Mm-hmm. What percentage chance do you give Miami coming back from behind and winning the series?
Winning 3-1.
Yeah,
coming back.
Coming back. Yeah.
I give them like a 5. Wait, you saying if they win tomorrow night?
If they win tomorrow, what percentage do you give them to win, like winning in a game 7 situation?
Yeah, I give them like a 5 to 10% chance. I mean,
so 50%.
No. I'm talking about, I give them 5% to win like 3 consecutive games. Against LeBron James, the way that he closes out, like the stats that he has in closeout games, he closes well. I think that should be counted in terms of, like, I think Skip Bayless, I don't know if he did, but if he didn't, he definitely should have copywritten Clutch Gene. But just in terms of that, I think the way that he performs in closeout games speaks to how clutch he actually is when people say he isn't. And
I think a lot of people are starting to realize that. I didn't let you finish. Go ahead.
I was really just that. I don't see Miami winning 3 straight games against him, because he's good enough to win a basketball game by itself. So to see him lose 3 straight games, I don't see that happening. Just because I don't think he's the greatest doesn't mean that I don't think he's great. He's just not the GOAT, but no, he can win 1 out of 3. So Miami not doing that.
For sure. So after this season, where do you see the Lakers going? You know, do they try to compete for a repeat? How do you think they'll rebuild, or what will remain? Because, I mean, for one, you know, there was a lot of talk about Kyle Kuzma being the third, like, of the big three, which he hasn't been. But he still, I feel like, contributed to the overall success of the team. He's hit big shots. He's, you know, played defense, stuff like that. What pieces do you think should stay? What pieces do you think will move, or should move, I should say?
It's interesting because the Lakers have done nothing but give Anthony Davis every reason to re-sign. But still, people forget that he's going to be a free agent at the end of this year.
Yeah, like, he signed a 1 year.
And it's not like, because he was still on the end of his contract from New Orleans. And there's no guarantee that he's going to re-sign. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Anthony Davis said, I learned from LeBron. I got my championship. Now it's time for me to go do my thing. Because maybe he just doesn't want to be a Laker. And maybe it doesn't have anything to do with LeBron. Some people just don't want to play for certain franchises. Some people just don't want to live in certain places. Prior to getting traded to LA, I recall a lot of talks about him saying he wanted to go back home and play for Chicago. Like, would I be shocked if I saw in the offseason him say, I appreciate everything LeBron did for me. I appreciate everything that the Los Angeles Lakers did for me. I'm glad that I was able to make history and do that for Kobe. But I just really want to go back home and try to do the same thing for Chicago now. I want to do the same thing for my home franchise. Would I be shocked if he did that? No. So I feel like the biggest thing in terms of him being successful next year is what decision Anthony Davis makes. From there, I don't think it would be smart to continue to try to make Kyle Kuzma your third star, because I feel like I didn't get enough of that. Rajon Rondo needs to be re-signed. He's been absolutely amazing with the two of those individuals. Just his hustle. His intellect and his hustle is enough for him
to
be on the floor and win with the two of them. Who would have thought? Contavious Caldwell-Pope.
I was just going to say KCP.
If I'm not mistaken, I think he's now tied for the most threes made in Laker postseason history.
Really? He's only played... This is
not like all postseason, but just like for one postseason year. So from round, second round, just this year, from first round through now, like he's hit like 44 three-pointers. And I think he's now tied for the most three-pointers made in one postseason for a Laker. So, I mean, who would have thought that? Like, I want to say last game, he actually was a third leading scorer. And he had 15 in game three, I think. Like, he's really been showing up, finally looking like he deserved his contract since he's been with the Lakers. I feel like just after this postseason performance, as somebody that you look at re-signing, I'm not giving you more than $10 million, but as somebody you look at re-signing, Danny Green, I think, needs to leave. I feel like Kyle Kuzma needs to be flipped. I can't remember if he's going to be a free agent this year or not. I think he might
this
have
to be his third year, no? This is his third year.
Yeah, but I mean, him being like, because he was after the lottery. So him being like that late first round pick, I don't know how many years his rookie contract was. But if they still have him under contract for next year, I'm looking at trading him, because it's a lot of decent guys that are available. And we all know LeBron likes stars. We all know LeBron likes having – LeBron doesn't like to struggle. That's really what it is. LeBron wants to know that every single season – he has a chance to contend. He wants to look around his locker room and know you good, you good, you good, you good, you good. He don't like looking at trash players. So if they can re-sign Anthony Davis, I can see Kyle Kuzma being flipped and them going after Drew Holiday. If not Drew Holiday, them going after Victor Oladipo, who wouldn't be bad over there. Like, I definitely see them flipping somebody along Kyle Kuzma to bring in that a legit third guy, whether they be like actually a star or, you know, right below that. But no, I definitely see him bringing in somebody to try to compliment him and Anthony Davis. But it all starts with Anthony Davis and whether he re-signs or not.
I see. For me, I don't know. I mean, you sign a 1 year deal to see how it goes, but to me, I feel like him and LeBron play really well together. And for him to go to, let's say he does go to Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. You're the guy, and then you're playing alongside Zach LaVine and, you know, whoever that cast is on that team. I don't really know that team very well.
Otto Porter Jr., Thaddeus Young, Wendell Carter, whoever they take with the number 4 overall pick, Kobe White. Nobody, aside from Zach LaVine, nobody legit.
Okay, so to me, to go and start over brand new and try to replicate that same thing, because he's going to want to compete for championships. Once you've kind of been indoctrinated into that championship kind of like mindset and like pedigree or from the organization, I feel like that's very attractive on wanting people to stay and just cementing your legacy as a Laker big man. I feel like a lot of people take on that challenge. Even Dwight came back, you know what I mean? And I feel like he's having some sort of, what do you call it? Not retribution, but just like kind of like
resurrection,
huh?
Like a resurrection.
Resurrection's a source, but just kind of like, you know, making up for lost time or you know, feeling like he didn't really give it 100% while he was on the team the first time around. So,
I'm sorry because I don't want to cut you off either, but that's so, I hate when people do that. That man led the league in rebounds as a Laker with a bad back. People do not give him credit for the way he acts. The man averaged like 17 and 12 as a Laker with a bad back. That's hard to do. Can you, like, he really has just come off of a back injury. He literally,
yeah, I remember
a back injury. Yeah. He couldn't sit down. I remember him doing an interview saying, no, me sitting in this chair right now, my shoulders are on fire. Like my shoulder, yeah, my spine, my lower back. I really have back, yeah, problems. The man led the league and rebounded. And then got swept by the Spurs. What was he supposed to do? Kobe was
already. Well, we were trash. We were trash then. Yeah, we were trash then.
But I don't know, like, if you really look at his numbers, look at his numbers in Charlotte, look at his numbers in New Jersey, look at his numbers in Atlanta. Well, I'm sorry, not New Jersey.
He's all, even on an off year, he's always had decent numbers. The fact that I'm trying to, point that I'm trying to make is that it's in a different capacity, but I feel like, you know, like the unfinished business type of, you know, thing. You know what I mean? You want to be a champion with the Lakers as a big man. I feel like he's able to do that now this year because the team is more complete and there's more help, you know what I mean? As opposed to the time where he was here. He was on the team first. But anyways, I hope he stays. I hope most of everybody stays. The only people that I would be willing to like give up, honestly, is just like, I mean, I like Danny. It's just he was really inconsistent this year. And if we can just get more solid, like a more solid shooter or just, you know, somebody who can fulfill a different role and we can just draft a shooter or whatever, I feel like that would be a little bit better going forward. But everybody else, for the most part, I like Caruso. I like Kuz, despite what everybody says, just because he shows up. But yeah, we'll just have to wait and see.
I want to ask you like how you feel about this, because earlier I saw something from Jalen and Jacoby's podcast where they had an NBA veteran. You know, he retired. He played back in like, I want to say like the late 60s, early 70s. And I apologize, I can't remember the man's name right now, but. He actually played on the men's Olympic basketball team when the two track artists like raised their fists and had the black gloves. You recall it was like the 68 Olympics. Like,
yeah, Carlos.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Like he played sometime after, I want to say he might have been like 17, 18 around that time, because that's when professional basketball players couldn't play yet. So he might have been like 17 at that time when he played, but he helped us beat, I believe he said like Yugoslavia or something like that for the gold medal. But they asked him, you know, how he felt about the NBA finals. And they also asked him to speak on just what he thought of in terms of the greatest all time debate. And they asked him if he felt like people in his era were overlooked. His response was the only person he believes in his era to be overlooked is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar because of, you know, success he had on all three levels, high school, college, winning six championships in the NBA. And then he started to speak on just like the individual evolution of basketball players and how players today are just far more advanced than the ones back then. He was like, you know, because when I play, you catch the ball, you back somebody down, you turn around, jump hook, you run your butt back to the other side of the court. But nowadays, you know, he was like, I'm 6'8". Today, those are guards in the way that they dribble, the way that they shoot, and blah, blah, blah. And he said, you know, right. He was like, just based on the evolution of a player, he was like, but what he said was that LeBron James, we might be watching the best. Like, we might be watching the greatest. I don't know what the argument is. But I feel like if I were to give you an answer, I would go with LeBron. My question is, does the evolution of the game only help LeBron James's argument? What I mean by that is, when you look at LeBron and you say, well, based on how good he is today, and you compare it to what players were in the past, and you say how dominant he would be against those individuals, does that go for every player? Like, would DeMar DeRozan be a champion if he played in the 70s? Would T.J. Warren go from being a role player to a star in the 90s?
Those things are star?
Like, is it just LeBron who gets that argument?
No, here's the okay. You kind of covered a lot of things in that, and I'm gonna try to unpack it. The first thing with Kareem, the reason why people overlook Kareem is because guard basketball is more exciting than big man basketball. And why I say that is people go to the games to see three-pointers. That's why Golden State was so exciting to watch, because people go to the games to see, you know, three-point specialists. I mean, yeah, if you dunk, like, everything, like Giannis, that's exciting, you know, but Giannis puts it on the floor. Like, you weren't going to see Kareem take it end-to-end. You know, he's going to get to a spot, and then he was going to put it to where you couldn't get it, or he was going to, you know, pass it to an open three. Like, he was still a cheat code, but if you look at it comparatively to, like, who's considered great players, I shouldn't say greaters, or greatest of all times, or just people in that stature, they're all mostly guards, or at least that's what people remember. You got Mike, you got Magic Johnson, you got Kobe, you got, well, LeBron's a small forward, but essentially he plays a guard position. So that, I feel like, contributes to Kareem being overlooked, because, I mean, his catalog is crazy. His resume is insane from when he started playing to, like, when he finished playing. So that's the only explanation I can give. So as far as the game evolving is something that occurred post, I would say, Magic Johnson had a lot to do with it, and Bird, but I mean, with the emergence of Michael Jordan and just like the players after him, like the Dwayne Wades of the world, the, you know, Carmelo Anthony's, you know, these LeBron James, where you're getting players where they're almost positionless. I don't know if that's still a thing anymore. People say positionless, like players where they play 1 through 5, you know, and we're just talking about Anthony Davis earlier. If Kareem was doing the same thing that Anthony Davis was, I feel like we wouldn't be having a discussion, really. I mean, Kareem has, what, 5 championships? Or how many championships does Kareem have? Huh? I mean, yeah, you know what I mean? So I think it's kind of like the way he did it. You know, he wasn't Air Jordan with, you know, his own shoes, you know, and like his own like merch line and, you know, pulling up in Ferrari. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that lifestyle is more, you know, attractive to most people, and it's more exciting. So I think with the basket, with the game evolving, LeBron doesn't have any control over that. He was already playing like that. You know what I mean? He was playing dominant. He just got better. But I mean, you're going to see better players. If you're saying, if we dropped a player from now back then, are like, there's a lot of variables that come in with that. Are we giving him with knowledge of today's basketball and skills? Just literally, dropping him?
You're literally taking who a player is today and putting them in an older time.
They'll absolutely be better.
All of them?
I would say most. And the reason, and here's why. There's more knowledge of the game. Of course, it's going to be, I mean, if, okay, if we're playing with different rules, right, we would have to go under those rules and principles. But given that we've had more time to explore the game and like the different nuances of the game, I feel like average players now would be all-stars then.
So Kelly Oubre would be an all-star in the 90s. Because he's average.
It depends.
On what?
You would have to run a simulation, honestly. But I feel like they would be.
What I'm saying. Like, you literally take.
You said in what period?
In the 90s.
Oh, no, not in the 90s.
Why not the 90s?
It depends on how far back.
From that period.
I mean,
it depends
on who it is, though, and what time period.
But that's what I'm asking. Does the evolution argument go for everybody, or does it only go for LeBron? Because I've never heard somebody say, man, Anthony Bennett might be the biggest NBA bust of all time, but only if he played in the 70s, he might have made an all-star team.
He could have. Man, who was making these all-star teams? There's a lot of forgettable people on all-star teams, and not even like then. I'm talking about like recent time too. Like,
I'm talking about consistent, like actual
consistently, not
like got there once,
like perennial all-star.
Yes, like Klay Thompson, four consecutive year type guy.
It depends on what era, because I wouldn't put Otto Porter in the 90s. I'd say like the 80s, maybe. The 80s or the 70s.
All right, so
you go back a little bit more.
Like,
there were some killers in the 90s. I don't know if he's that.
Take somebody like Zach LaVine
would probably be a perennial all-star. I would say this. On pure athleticism and like able to get like his shots and stuff, I would say. I don't see it being a really hard thing for. Yeah, I don't see it being like, cause you got to put it this way: you have more knowledge of the game. That's already like
a weak East. Now he can't even make it.
I thought he was just an all-star.
Zach LaVine?
Yeah. Or was he a reserve?
I don't remember him being on an all-star team.
Am I bugging? Well, shit. Luka. No, Luka can give somebody buggers any era.
I mean, Luka's giving you 30 now in what is supposed to be the most talented era. But I mean, it's an open era as well. Like, Luka didn't.
That's what I'm
like
saying. There's a lot of variables to it.
Luka
like,
didn't
there's
like
different.
How Luka said, I understand what Luka's doing or where he's coming from. He just wants to play basketball. That's how I feel. I remember I was playing basketball once, and I was trying to, like, sprint up court. Mm-hmm. Dude, like, grabbed my arm to keep me from sprinting up court. And I was watching, I think it was game two, and Miami was going on a fast break. Jay Crowder tried to sprint up court, and LeBron grabbed his arm and kind of pulled him back to keep him from getting up court with the rest of the team. That's something that people are taught. It's like, it's dirty, but it's something that people are taught to do.
To me, that's not dirty.
If you snap, bro, I got a bad shoulder. You can literally pull somebody's arm out of socket doing that. Like, literally.
To me, okay, as a basketball player.
I just want to play basketball. If I'm running up court, run up court with me. Don't snatch on my arm to keep me from going up court. So, like, with Luka not liking some of those things.
It's stopping the play. It's stopping the play. You know what I mean?
Like, stopping the play by doing something. Like, that's literally a foul. But they're not going to always call that.
I mean, there's a foul to get. There's always going to be something that's not called, but there's going to be fouls that, like, to give, like, to stop the momentum of a fast break or whatever.
Yeah,
to me, something dirty to me is like stepping underneath a player or just kind of like sliding underneath a player, hooking. You know what I mean? There's a lot of guys get away with hooking nowadays. Like, that's annoying, especially for big man.
I tried to go for a rebound. Dude literally, like, wrapped both of his arms around my waist and pulled me out the way. I'm saying, like, it's
certain rules. I don't know where he was playing.
I was playing at the Boys and Girls Club. But, like, I'm saying, like, it's literally certain things that people are taught to kind of cheat their way. And mm-hmm. It seemed like Luka don't like that. Like, he really just wants to play basketball. You get the rebound, you get the rebound. You get a court, you get a court. If he would have played in that Laker game where dude got clotheslined in midair, like, it's not as easy. Like, you can't average. It's not that easy to just average 30 and then leave, because as soon as, okay, we down 8, this dude got 25, the next time he go for a jump shot, punch him in his chest. Next time he go to the rim, elbow him across the head. Karl Malone purposely elbow people in the head.
So you're saying Luka, if playing in a tougher league, would not average the same numbers as he is?
With the way you complained about Marcus Morris, you might have stayed overseas.
But here's the thing. Overseas, they play even worse overseas. They get away with way more overseas.
Like what?
It's a more competitive. Well, I shouldn't say more competitive. I would say it's a different style of play.
So why were you complaining about Marcus Morris then?
I couldn't tell you.
Because if you used to worse, LeBron.
That's what I've heard.
LeBron is really used to worse.
When you that big, I feel like it really don't matter.
You would think so, but the way he tried to manipulate calls and cry all the time, I don't know. I just feel like, kind of like what you were saying about, like, there are variables, I feel like that's one of them. The way things are so open, the way things are so ticky-tack, it kind of helps a player nowadays. Like I said, when dude got hit in mid-air, nobody got ejected. Both teams started fighting. Nobody got ejected.
It was way different back then. People used to get... Dudes just get clocked. In the middle of a game.
Dude got ejected because he told another player, "I beat your ass." They was all, "Get out of here." You can't do that nowadays.
I mean, I'll put it this way. We've both never played in an NBA game. Yeah. So we don't know how physical it is. We just can go based off what we've seen and what people have said. Correct? We've been in basketball games. There's different levels of physicality.
Absolutely.
However, to say that one player wouldn't make it in one era, when there's no way of him proving that, is kind of unfair to me, because we don't know. We don't know. Like, yeah, it's easy to say Michael Jordan would have shredded, like, the defenses now. Like, it wouldn't have mattered. Yeah, or maybe he would have had trouble. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that he hasn't had trouble with teams. He didn't get to a certain point in his career where he just obliterated, like teams. Just like there wasn't just sweeps, like nothing but sweeps in his careers or just like in the postseason. So I feel like it's unfair to LeBron and to other players, not just LeBron James. You know, people used to put Kobe in that category too. You know what I mean? So if they're not playing in that current era, we can only speculate. But I'd like to say he would have been just as dominant. Because, I mean, who else at that time is playing like he's playing besides Magic Johnson?
I mean, even Magic really wasn't playing like he was playing. But that's another part of it. That's another part you have to take into consideration, because a lot of times you're playing the way you're coached and allowed to.
That happens too.
Michael Jordan averaged in a season 32.5, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, even 3 steals, shot like 49% from the field. You look at that, I've never seen, aside from like Russell Westbrook, like averaging a 30-point triple-double for the season, but he didn't shoot 49 from the field. Like, you really don't get 30
points. How many shots did he take, though? You know what I mean? Like, to me, Russ – no, I'm talking about Russ. Like, that's, to me, is Russ's stats, they're great, but I feel like they're kind of – they're semantics at times, because there's always kind of, to me, an asterisk next to it, you know. But I'm not really trying to, like, get into, like, talking about Russ, yeah, really.
No, I'm just saying, like, in terms of an individual having an all-around game like that, it came to a point to where you realize in order for us to win and really play team basketball, you have your rebounders, you have your assist man, you have your scorers, you have your three-point shooters, you have your system in play to play team ball and win. I've always felt like that may have been one of LeBron James's downfalls, just trying to do too damn much. If LeBron James has simply focused on, I'm going to get 30 every night, he might have been a little more successful. And they really placed somebody next to him to control the ball with a high IQ, and they play shooters around him and defenders around him and rebounders around him, he might have been
so a how much better are we talking about in terms of championships?
Yes.
So if he would have got a primary ball handler, he played alongside that primary ball handler earlier instead of electing to be a distributor and a scorer.
Instead of electing to trying to do everything.
So who's somebody you would have had on his team? Who you would have paired up? Because then, do you then take away the greatness of LeBron James? Is it then more of that other person's team? Because people have a problem with LeBron teaming up with good. So how good of a guard would you pair him up with?
Well, the problem with LeBron pairing up with somebody was the fact that he left the team that drafted him to go to someone else's. But in terms of
why are we getting okay, no, I'm talking about, it doesn't matter what team. I'm saying Cleveland, Miami, Lakers doesn't okay. Earlier on his career, we'll just say Cleveland and Miami, because like this is Lakers too late. It's too late in the game. Who okay
for the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Who would you pair with them? What guard?
If I was the GM of the Cleveland Cavaliers and I drafted LeBron James, and I sat down and I told LeBron James that I wanted him to be more of a scorer and not so much of a facilitator. At that time, I feel like a good point guard that you could have put with him in the early 2000s might have been somebody like a Andre Miller, would have been a good point guard that you could have put aside him. You don't have to be like an elite guy, but like Andre Miller would have been somebody good I feel like could have fit. Somebody
so
like
you're saying, how, so how many
a lot of people
how many How much better are we talking, like one more championship, two more championships more with Andre Miller, or Andre Miller caliber player? Is that what you're saying? How many
more? I'm talking about in terms of a type of point guard, and then yes, also caliber as well, but a type of point guard I would put next to him, somebody that can still defend at their position, that can knock down an open shot, but that's more so your actual facilitator and guy that's going to run the play. LeBron James is the guy that's going to score. I mean, you – like, I feel like one thing that kind of hurt was Carlos Boozer leaving, because Carlos Boozer only played 1 year with LeBron, which was his rookie year, and then he finagled Cleveland, where he spoke to Cleveland management, and he was still under his own rookie deal. And he told them, if you let me out of my rookie deal, I'll re-sign with you for an extension. I just want more money. Cleveland obliged, and they let Carlos Boozer out of his deal. But what happened was, when he was on an open market, Utah threw a huge contract at him, and they offered him like $15-20 million total than Cleveland was. So at that time, he said, I'm going to Utah. Y'all can't give me more money than this. I'm leaving. So I feel like Carlos Boozer not being there kind of hurt his early years, but that's just another. But I feel like that's a good power forward that could have been next to him as well. But, yeah, I feel like when you really look, you might not have – with LeBron James not being as dominant and not doing so much, you might have the argument that what maybe he might not have gone to as many trips. Possibly. It really just depends on the roster itself that's constructed.
There's literally like I said, so you many
really very – put together a better – you really could have put together a better thing, like a better.
There's literally so many variables we can go over. I think what's going to happen is people are going to look up one day, LeBron's going to be at the end of his career, and they're just going to be blown away by all the things he's accomplished. You know what I mean? And
like what?
Not to say.
Blown away by what?
I don't know. Being almost damn near first in everything in the postseason, like. Like, it's stats-wise?
He's played in, like, 2,000 more minutes in the postseason than anybody else.
Okay, your point is saying he's played a ton of minutes. What does that even matter?
If I'm great and you're great and you've done something for longer,
if other players admit to his greatness, I don't see why people can like average people can. But I feel like people like to dim the lights of LeBron James just because Michael Jordan exists. And at times I feel like it's pointless, honestly, because there's always gonna be something like people don't like that like he does. Cause like I saw earlier today, like he wouldn't be in the finals if it wasn't for Anthony Davis. Okay, yeah, sure. But was Anthony Davis on all those other teams he went to the finals? Like if somebody makes it to the final, Carl, if I told you that like I could if I got a new car every year, you gonna expect me to get a new car every year? For the most part, right? If I was like, yeah, I got a new car. I'm thinking I'll get another one next year. I'm like, yeah, he probably gonna get another. I'm just waiting on what it's gonna be. Bro, I went to 8 consecutive finals. You know what I mean? You can't knock people. I don't care who's on your team. You can't
knock that.
You can because you want to, but I mean,
no, this is all. I applaud an individual for getting to the finals. I applaud Jimmy.
What is your thing with LeBron James?
This is I already explained.
This is what it is.
I'm gonna tell you.
You don't think he's as great as what people think he is?
Some.
Okay, that's fine.
I think the man is the third greatest basketball player. He's the third best NBA player I've ever seen. Why is that not good enough?
That's fine. For me, it's finding different reasons to like diminish like his like overall greatness. To me, it's like it's kind of it's like it's diminishing. Nitpicking.
I just it's, don't think he's the greatest. That's the only thing I diminished.
That's fine.
Being the but being third.
But we don't.
He's
when,
third.
When did but when did we talk? But when did we ever talk about him being the greatest?
When did you or when did anybody? Because that's a lot of people that do so.
No, I'm saying in this very conversation right now, I feel like it morphed into that.
Well, no, but that's why I clarified, because I know sometimes when you say something negative about somebody, as opposed to it being taken as constructive criticism or it just being an honest opinion, it can be taken as hate. I don't hate LeBron, but just because I say that the man had six losses in the finals doesn't mean I'm hating. It's just a fact. He had, when you talk about those great basketball players, when you talk about Mike, when you talk about Kareem, when you talk about Magic, when you talk about Bird, when you talk about those greatest guys, he has more losses in the finals than some of them have wins. He has more losses in the finals than some people even have trips. I understand, but that's a bad thing. He has a lot of, he has losses. That's a lot.
Okay,
and it's
so
only two of them that people try to bring up. When somebody talks about LeBron James losing in the finals, a lot of things that or one of the main arguments that they try to have on his side, well, you did have that super team and those players joined to stop him. Question. That was two trips.
Question. Pick either team, a Kobe and Shaq team versus the Warriors or Michael Jordan and Bulls team. To pick the Warriors. You can pick any Warriors team that won the championship. Who's winning the series?
I'm going with Kobe and Shaq because Shaq. The Warriors have – I feel like the Bulls defensively would be a better matchup to stop the Warriors, but I don't think the Warriors have an answer for Shaq. He's the most dominant force aside from Wilt. In NBA
so you're saying the Warriors would beat the Bulls, but not the Lakers?
No, I think the Lakers would have a better chance because the Warriors don't have an answer for Shaq. And even if you do get to a point to where you slow Shaq down, Kobe gonna drop 40 on your head with the Bulls.
So none of those teams
match up better.
None of those teams are losing to the Warriors.
You said any team or the Warriors?
No.
So I can choose the one without Kevin Durant, right?
I mean, if you want.
I mean, if I can choose either one, then I think the Bulls.
All right, pick the one with Kevin Durant. The best Golden State team versus
I think the Lakers have a better chance of beating them still because Shaq, he's just that guy you have no answer for.
So if they matched up in a final series three times, how many times, what's the record for both teams?
I'd get a Lakers 2.
2-1?
I'd say the Lakers win 2.
And then the Golden State would pick up 1?
Yeah. I'm not going to say that they would beat them all 3 series. I'd say the Lakers get 1. I mean, I'd say the Warriors can get 1 with KD. But I'm taking – I just think Shaq – well, like, who do you put on Shaq?
I don't even know who the big man was for Golden State. Who was it?
Pachulia?
Yeah. It's a mismatch.
JaVale McGee might have been on that roster.
Yeah. But then are you playing with today's rules, though?
Even with today's rules, you fouling me every time I go to the hole.
I don't know. I feel like it's not as close as people make it. And I'm a Laker fan.
Today's rules might favor Kobe. Might favor Kobe. You're going to put Derek Fisher on Curry to chase him around all game. You're going to put Kobe going to switch off between like Clay KD in certain moments. Rick Fox. Robert Horry is going to be standing out wide, ready to knock down anything as soon as you triple team Shaq. I think the Lakers, man, I'll get a Lakers
too. Yeah, good squad. Yeah. I wish we could just, you know, time travel so we can actually see those games play out. But
with this Lakers team today, does that beat the Warriors with KD?
Man, I would love to see that. That would have been great basketball.
Don't do it. You're a Laker fan. Okay, go ahead. Does this Laker team beat the Warriors with Kevin Durant?
Okay, if we can limit their perimeter shooting, yeah, I think we can.
What kind of answer is that?
If we find a way to limit. Yeah.
If anybody can limit their perimeter shooting.
No, but I'm saying. That was their biggest thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like they could. We going to need Avery Bradley, though.
Who do you think is the greatest player of all time? Only because you said nobody said it. I just want to know who do you think?
Kobe.
Because I wasn't trying to have an argument about that. I was just trying to say. Now, when you
I'm
say
I'm going to say Kobe every time.
Are you saying most talented?
Kobe's my favorite player of all time. Kobe's my favorite player of all time. So,
player of all time. I'm not going to say he's the greatest just because he's my favorite. Like literally, do you really think that he has the greatest career, greatest resume of any player in NBA history?
I mean, if we're talking resume, it's going to be – I mean, there's a lot of people up there, honestly. The only people that come to mind – when I come to mind of just, like, complete, like a complete player, right, it's a short list. It's – for me, it's going to be Kobe. It's going to be Mike. It's going to be LeBron. And it's going to be KD. Like, when I think of those players, I just think of, like – like, it's just, it's a dub. It's a dub. I mean,
talent list, or that's your, like, great resume career list?
If we're doing just great resume, you said who's the best player, and then you said who has the best resume.
What did I say? Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest of all time?
I mean, I would have to say Mike. I would have to say Mike. But if we have, like, include all the resume, I would have to say Mike or Kareem.
Okay.
Yeah, just to be fair, because his resume is stupid. So, yeah, that's who I would pick. But as far as, like just complete players, those are, like, just players I feel like are the best players. Like, drop them anywhere, any time period, like, they're going to give somebody buckets. A lot of them. But yeah,
before we get off,
what's up?
Go over this real quick. Okay, so yeah, because you never really, or at least we kind of cut it off, like, the conversation. You never really got to speak on it a little bit. So last year, we had, I want to say, like, two semi-heated episodes. And I mean, it even got heated, like, after the episodes, after we stopped recording. But we had a conversation about the WNBA. I'm going to repeat my statement because if I said it once, I'll say it twice. And if I said it behind your back, I'll say it to your face. I really don't care. And it's this. I say it to one of them. It's this simple. My comment was, nobody really cares about women playing basketball. Context to that was just simply on how big the WNBA is as a league, where they stand, how far they can possibly go, how big we see them going. The other day, there were some text messages where some stats had been shared where the WNBA saw a 60%+ growth in their viewership over the course of, I want to say it was like four home games that they were specifically talking about. Two of the games well, the games themselves saw like an average of 400,000+ views or viewers. Two of the games reached actually over 600,000 views. One of them peaked at like 647,000 views, something like that. And it was a statement made by Sidney, who was one of the main individuals talking about how he did see the WNBA growing larger than it was. They just really needed to market more. They needed to promote their players more, promote the league more. They just needed to put more behind themselves. I just really didn't feel like people care about girls basketball for it to be much, much larger than it is now. So the numbers that he provided, although were better than they were last year, are not the league's best ever. They compared those numbers to the likes of the 2012 season, which on average only averaged 180,000 views per game, which was the worst in league history. That season alone, they had a game reach 104,000 viewers on ABC. The number that he posted, the peak game was 647. So you had a higher peak 8 years ago. But the league signed a new CBA before this season to air more games to bring in more viewership. You can't go to a game. So the only thing you can do is watch from home. At that time, you could go to a game, and they still have better numbers than they do now. Do you feel like the WNBA is bigger than it's ever been? Have you seen a growth in the WNBA since that new CBA, since more games have been aired? Do you still feel the same way that you did last year?
Okay, I'm going to preface this real quick to say that I've never been a real fan of, like, the WNBA, not to say that, like, I don't encourage the growth and the sport and competitiveness of women's basketball. But I never watched games. I don't really know, like when their season starts. I'm always really surprised when I see, like, their playoffs or their finals are on TV. I will say that recently I've seen a ton more commercials for it, and just kind of like the promoting of it. I don't keep track of their numbers. You know what I mean? That's something that you and I guess Sydney looked up recently. But I will say that, you know, it to me, it doesn't make me no difference. I remember the debate that we had. We were on the same side, and like Sakani and Sydney were on opposing side. And earlier in the week, we were talking about like the numbers and stuff. I didn't know it was compared to like the 2000. Well, I didn't know like where the numbers were pulled from. I was just like, I wasn't really paying attention to the conversation that much. Because, like I said, it doesn't make me no different whether they do well or not do well. Is it better for the game of basketball? Yeah, I would say it's better for the game of basketball that they are better. I don't see what would be damaging by having more viewership and more, like, involvement, you know, with, like, women's basketball. But my biggest thing was that it's just not as entertaining as men's basketball. And that's not a knock to women's basketball at all. That's just for me. And we kind of like discuss that too, how it's like, well, we're saying that it's not entertaining, but their argument was that it was like, we're just saying that we have to leave it up to like, you know, the fans or like the public to kind of like confirm that. But I don't know how much amount of data would confirm that. But yeah, I mean, I don't really know what more else to say other than, yes, there may have been a spike or just like numbers on that. You said like their opening, like the opening game or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was like 4 home games or something like that.
That's good. And I don't want to sound like, you know, shrewd or just kind of like whatever, but I don't really care enough to.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying? I know
it doesn't make me any difference because I wasn't in the market to watching like women's basketball games. So if you put it, okay, I'm trying to find a scenario to where it would be, it would make like me more invested. I'm trying to think of a scenario that would make me more invested.
The one thing I don't like is for somebody to try to paint a narrative that just because I'm being honest about what I do and don't care about and it involves women that automatically makes somebody sexist. I don't care about soccer. I don't care what gender is playing it. I'm not watching a soccer game. I'm not watching cricket. Like, it's just certain things that I have no interest in. I do like basketball, but
I will say that soccer is the biggest sport in the world.
Yeah, but it's not that big in America.
But it's the biggest sport in the world.
But it's not that big in the
world. But the world is bigger than America. So
yeah, but I'm talking about, but as an American, I don't have that interest. Is all I'm saying. There's certain things that I'm interested in, and there are certain things that I'm not interested in. Watching women play basketball.
I was just making the difference between. So, like, you're saying...
I mean, women's basketball is bigger internationally than it is in America as well. That's why Diana Taurasi can get a $1 million check not to play in the WNBA and still get paid to go play internationally. So, somebody does care about it. But in America...
I mean, the argument to address the central, like, argument... or debate, I should say, the argument of the debate is that they were giving more viewership, right? Mm. But the numbers didn't change that much. For me, it's the only thing that changed was the capacity and what it was presented. So it was just presented in a different way. You're only watching it online, which would make it honestly easier, right? Because everybody has technology, everybody has laptops, phones, televisions, you know what I mean? You can stream just about anything nowadays. So that would technically, I don't know, make it easier. Is it the same product? No, but if we're just going based off of this gives more, if we have more promotion will have more viewers. I don't know if there's a direct correlation there. You know what I mean?
Just throwing promotion. Okay, you have more viewers, but
I mean,
you don't have more viewers. You still don't have more viewers than ever. You've been promoting more than ever. You're playing more games than you have in recent years, but the numbers aren't better in terms of like the games that Sydney talked about. They're not better than they were 8 years ago. So it's like, those are the best numbers since then. But if you're I'm saying it's not, the league itself is not at a new height.
Yeah, and I mean, that might be the case. I mean, like I said, the only time I'll probably like look at like a WNBA game is like if I have a daughter and one day she becomes a WNBA star or something. You know what I mean? Or just she's just like in basketball.
Yeah, like I know a girl, childhood friend. She has a really good chance of making it to the WNBA once she graduates from Arizona University. Once she's done being a Wildcat, I'd watch her play there. But aside from that, really, like honestly, and it's weird because I say I don't really care about females playing basketball, but I've been more entertained by watching like the WNCAA than I have by watching WNBA.
Oh, like women's college basketball?
Yeah, like I've watched women's college basketball and been entertained by that. Like when Skylar Diggins was in college, I watched a couple of her games. when Maya Moore was in college at Connecticut, I watched a couple of her games.
Straight killer.
Yeah, like those were some, those were like, I don't know if it's the game itself, you know, condensing it to two halves.
I think like what you're, what you're,
makes it a little better.
What it is what you're accustomed to seeing on that level of play. So with the WNBA, they're professional players, but it's not the same as the NBA. You know what I mean? As far as like physicality and
athleticism
and athleticism. Yeah, I mean, not to say that these aren't athletes. It's just it's not the same. So I think what you're accustomed to, you feel and see like a drop off when you're watching a WNBA because you know that you're watching a professional game. So,
highly possible. I mean, it's logical.
That's the only thing I can kind of grasp from it. Or you just is simply uninterested, like X Games, right? There's plenty of people that look forward to the X Games every year. You know what I mean? And I've watched the X Games a number of times and just kind of watched the different events. Like, am I going to watch, like, motocross and, like, skateboarding year-round? Like, you know what I mean? It's just we have to look at, like, what people actually like a lot in America. And I think maybe instead of, I mean, in with conjunction with more promotion and that's why I said earlier, what other steps could they take to stimulate growth of the league? Maybe we need to do some more research to see what they're actually doing. But there's just certain games and certain sports that, like, in America that people kind of gravitate towards. And that's
you've been seeing more commercials lately. Has that made you want to watch a game anymore?
I just think it's dope.
But has that made you want to watch the game?
No. I just think it's dope. I just think it's dope. But there's certain commercials that I see that, like, aren't meant for me. So maybe they're not meant for I don't know who their target audience is. You know what I mean, if I'm an executive at the WNBA office, right, and I'm in like into like marketing and like, you know, viewership and stuff like that, I don't know what the game plan is. You know, want
to put a Dorito bag in a commercial,
huh?
Like, you want them to make all the girls dunk? That's gonna make you watch. Like,
no, it's a thing, and I'm not here to bash women either. I'm not here, and I feel like we've been on the subject for a little bit too long.
That's what I'm saying. This is just how we feel about
it's just not meant for. Well, some things aren't meant for certain people. So, like, you said,
tennis. Tennis is cool.
I mean, I was just gonna say that, like, there's certain commercials that come up. You're like, oh, this is definitely not for me. You know what I mean? And that's just kind of like, in a nutshell, how like I feel when I see WNBA commercials. What I do like about them is that they're really informative and they're really like, I think it's dope to see, because who knows watching them that's like, I don't know, like a little girl or like somebody like who, like somebody who is just
bored. $35,000 a season.
I don't know.
Exactly. But I mean, they make more than that now with the new CBA. Only thing I was going to say was, I don't know what marketing is going to do, only because I don't know one person that doesn't know that the WNBA exists. So you're aware of it. So what makes you want to watch it?
Beats me, Carl, but it's been real. Hopefully I'll see you Saturday.
Yeah, I should be out there
too. I was just gonna get a couple things beforehand. I was gonna get some like gloves or something. Well, I got everything else for the most part.
I got my gloves. I got my cleats in the car. I ain't used yet. I had to get some new ones because I literally.
You got to break those in.
My other ones, they literally ripped. Like, the last one, terrible. But, yeah, I got some new ones. That's how you posted on Snap.
Yeah, I would try breaking them in before Saturday just because when I started using mine.
I'm falling and I'm brand new. Ain't nobody going to do nothing to stop me. I'm going to.
I bet. Hopefully you're on my team.
I'm scoring at least 3 touchdowns. Whoever guard me, get ready to get your ankles broke.
Are you playing offense? I thought you was a defensive specialist.
Oh, I play both sides.
Oh, okay. Who played quarterback last time?
Evan. He just played, like, all time for both teams. Like I said, we only had 6 people. Well, we had 6 people, you know, 3 on each team, and then he just played quarterback for both teams. But hopefully we have far more of a turnout if we can get, you know, 12, 14 people with a quarterback.
I think we will. And then, you know, if you're watching this, is posted before Saturday. Please come out. Check out Fan Culture Podcast, Instagram, and other platforms. We're on Facebook as well for promotion of the Saturday flag football game that we have going on 9 a.m.
Large Park, Fresno, California.
Yes, sir. Okay, yes, sir.
Probably Gettysburg.
So come through, show love. Please bring a mask. Please do not come out if you're sick or show signs of being sick. And let's just have some fun. But yeah, next time we see each other again. Hopefully, Lakers will be NBA champions. So,
I'm a Sacramento Kings fan. That ain't got nothing to do with me.
You already know where I stand. But it's been real, bro. All
right, man.
Shout out to Sid, to Connie. We'll see y'all in the next one. Peace out.
Fuck them.